My name is Michael Ayala White, and I am a trauma-informed certified coach.
So can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, so I got a certification through an organization called Moving the Human Spirit, recognized by the International Coaching Federation. Also have a certification in what's called inner child story work, which is to walk with guys back through their story and figure out, where did these events happen? How has that affected you, not only then, but also in the present, and if it's not addressed in the future? And a lot of the guys I work with as well have some sort of addiction or recovery path, either trying to walk out of addiction into recovery, or are stuck in full-blown addiction and are coming to me in some of the worst spots of their life, usually with trauma associated with that, which is what most addiction is based in, is in trauma. It's a response to figuring out, I didn't get this because of this abuse, and I found alcohol, shopping, pornography, gambling, whatever, and that makes me feel better, and it starts out as a solution, but then it becomes an additional problem, and now you have two problems with no solutions, and you're not sure what to do.
What was your mental health journey like?
Yeah, man, my mental health journey. So I didn't really have a ton of framework for it, honestly, until 2019. I did a lot of nonprofit and some faith-based work in my teens into my late 20s, and had no framework for the trauma that I myself experienced, physical, emotional, sexual abuse. And as my influence increased and my stress increased, so did my addictions, and I didn't understand the correlation. I didn't understand how to regulate my emotions. I didn't understand that just because things happened in the past didn't mean that they weren't affecting my present and weren't going to affect my future if I didn't deal with them. And so in 2019, my life just fell apart. Had a full-blown, basically just living a double life, and also just a mental breakdown where lost my job, lost my career, and went headfirst into addictions of just trying to make myself feel better. And it wasn't until the end of 2019, early 2020, when I got exposed to some different types of counseling, some trauma-informed counseling, where I started to understand where I'm like, oh, man, I've been carrying this stuff for a couple decades, had no idea that it was still with me, right, both in my memory and in my body. And as I started to walk this road and really get language, because for a lot of guys, like, we don't talk about how we were hurt.
Right.
I never talked about how I was lonely, but when I heard a guy say it, I was like, I resonate with that. Like, all I knew was, like, angry, hungry, and horny. That's all I knew. So, like, I had no framework for anything beyond that of, like, sadness, hurt, loneliness, shame, guilt, gladness, anything like that. So as I started to develop language and get what was inside outside, I started to realize that I was offloading some of the pain and the hurt that I had experienced. And as I started to do that, there started to be space to engage my own story of abuse. And then as I got older, of just bad decisions that I make in addiction. And so what I started to realize was that addiction was my best attempt to meet the needs that weren't met for me. And the reality of that is, as I dove deeper into understanding my addiction, it expanded my reality of mental health, of emotional health, and of trauma. And so as I walked through that process, I saw how they were all tied together, and how as I essentially grew up emotionally, because even though I was 29 at the time, I was probably 14 or 15 years old emotionally because of the trauma I experienced, I was stunted. As I started to catch up, well, now my endurance and my ability to handle stress, to handle loss, to handle things, also started to grow at the same time. And so for me, it was a crash course. Like, it was just, I either am going to figure this out or I don't know if I'm going to make it, you know, to be blunt. And so I'm a very different person now than I was 5 years ago.
What is your process in helping others?
Yeah, great question. So right now I offer, through my coaching agency, Wayward Coaching, I offer three different paths for men. The first one is an addiction/recovery path. And so that's where guys, like I was saying before, they'll come in and they'll either be like, hey, I'm fresh, I'm still in addiction, want to get out, or hey, I've been trying to quit whatever for some time, or hey, I've been in recovery for a couple of years and just need some help on something. The first thing is to figure out, like, what is your recovery plan? Because if you don't have a plan, you're not going to just stumble out of addiction. You'll just keep going. You need a plan. And so for me, the first thing is the right information, helping them to understand that addiction is a multifaceted problem, which means it needs a multifaceted solution. It's not just a physical problem or just a mental problem or just a spiritual problem. It's all of them, which means we need to address the entire human. Second thing is the right community. You're not going to do it on your own. You will not make it on your own in recovery. You just won't. And it's not you, it's how we're made. And the third thing is time. So the right information plus the right community plus time to me equals transformation. So that's kind of a summation of the addiction / recovery path. The inner child path, which is similar to the addiction recovery path, is just walking with guys through back through their story and figuring out, like, hey, where are you? How did you get here? And where is it you want to go? And so it's really helping them to understand their story and honestly bringing an empathy and a compassion that most of them have not experienced, and teaching them how to have empathy and compassion on themselves, because they can have empathy and compassion for other people and all the bad things that happen to them, but they typically can't have that for themselves because no one showed them, you know? And so when I sit with guys where I'm like, dude, this was a tire fire and you were a child. You are not responsible for what happened to you or the situations that happened when you were 4 years old. They don't know how to handle that because no one's ever said that to them. And so teaching themselves how to have compassion and go back into their story and let them know, hey, this thing that you have guilt and shame over as a six-year-old boy was not your fault. You were a child. Where were your parents? We're not blaming your parents, but we're naming what actually happened, which was a disaster. So really helping them to engage their story with empathy and compassion and bring some healing along the way so that they can let some of that stuff go and move forward in a different direction. And then the third path is just what's called a trauma-informed coaching path, which is guys come to me and they're like, I just want to be the best version of myself that I can be. I'm like, great. Who is that? Let's formulate a plan on that. Let's co-create a plan of the direction you want to go, and I will walk with you to help you get to where it is you want. So that's kind of a template for the three ways that I work with guys right now.
How has helping others help your own healing process?
Yeah, great question. Man, just about every week, I'm working with, now it's like 14 or 15 guys around the globe right now, actually. My certification is global, and I work with a guy overseas, and then most of them are all around the United States. Almost every week, somebody says something where I'm like, ooh, and I'm writing that down for myself. I'm like, yeah. And so there's a saying in recovery, one man's work is every man's work. And I love that saying because it's so true for me, where I'll be listening and I'm still connected with I went to a two-week counseling intensive in Colorado in 2022 that really changed my life. And I met nine other guys from around the country, and we just lived in the same house and did group therapy 12 of those 14 days for like 8 to 10 hours a day. And it just transformed everything for me. Still connected with those guys now. Like, we meet every week on a Zoom call. And every single week, one of those guys says something where I'm like, I needed to hear that today. And it's the same thing in working with guys, that just because I'm in the coaching chair doesn't mean I'm not learning. If I'm not leaning in to listen and learn, I'm doing something wrong. Because that means that I've got it all figured out. Yes, I'm holding the coaching chair and helping them to work through their problems, but I'm also trying to open myself up to learn from things that they say where I'm like, ooh, that's good. That's a good observation. That's a good phrase. That's a good way to say something. And so for me, this is an occupation for sure. It's a profession. It's what I do full time, but it's also part of my own journey. it's flown out of my own story and really has become more of a calling, if you will, which means that I don't have to think that I've got it all figured out. I can lean in and learn from anything that anyone says.
How does it feel when you see your client succeed?
This is a good question. So yesterday, let me just figure out real quickly how to phrase this so I don't break HIPAA. Yesterday I had a client who said something to me, and most men that I work with, the root of most of their issues is toxic shame. Underneath all the other emotions, there's this experience of toxic shame that really is the puppet master that pulls the strings. And most of the guys stroll into my coaching agency, and I'm like, tell me about your shame. And they're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I'm like, okay. So once I define it and talk about it, they're like, I felt that most of my life. I'm like, I know. That's probably why you're here. So what was really cool, what's really cool for me is when yesterday there was a situation where the client talked about the awareness growing with this. And he said, I'm not going to say what he said because I don't want to break HIPAA. But when he said certain things, I got emotional because I'm like, I told him, I'm like, dude, this is like a proud dad moment. Because it's like, this is so important for you to understand because you're getting to the root of your problems. And once you get to the root of your problems, it means that we can uproot them and put in some truth that will bring healing. And so, like, when I see that and I can see the growth, and more importantly, when the client communicates the growth to me, not just from themselves, but they're like, hey, my wife said this to me, my kid said this to me, my coworker said this to me, that I'm responding differently. I'm like, okay, that's forward momentum, and it motivates me and encourages me to continue the process and go, like, we're doing something right. And so I love it, man. Like, it's those are the moments that I live for. Like, the tough moments, I live for those too, where it's like, hey, this fell apart, and it's like, okay, this is a learning moment. Like, let's grieve, let me lean in and show empathy and compassion and figure out where it is that we need to adjust course and keep going. You may have ran your ship onto that rock, and that sucks, and I've done it. How do we patch it up and keep going? But when a client, like, gets something, there's not much like it. You know, it's what motivates me to keep going.
What do you do to help your own mental health?
Yeah, great question. So because of what I do, and it's continuing to grow, which is great. I've really had to set up a rhythm of receiving. And so I'm giving a lot, and that's good. I like that. But I also have to make sure that I myself am receiving so I don't run dry and burn out. So there's a couple things. Number one, fun and the concept of play is really important, where I've built in a couple different things. Like today, Wednesday. This Friday, I'm starting a summer just two-hand touch football league, where it's like, I'm just going to go and have fun. It's not all about being serious all the time. You need to have those areas where you can just play and just decompress. Number two, for me, what actually helps my own mental health is to continually walk through the process of therapy for myself. So 2.5 years ago, when I got out of that counseling intensive in Colorado, I started trauma therapy. And I've been doing that every other week for 2 years, 2.5 years, and I will continue to do that. So I'm continuing to engage my own work. I'm not going to ask someone to do something that I myself am not willing to do. That's just not how I'm wired. So if I'm going to ask you to engage your story, I'm going to continue to engage my story. I'm going to continue to do my own work and make sure that I'm serious about it. Because not only do the certifications matter, but a lot of what I've learned on my own journey has translated into the guys that I've worked with. And I think that will continue the more I get to know my story. And then number three, man, as funny as it sounds, like, I love kids movies because it helps me to engage my inner child in a way that I didn't get to when I was a kid. And so, like, when I'm just, like, after a long week of working with guys, sometimes I'll just turn on a kids movie and just be like, okay, like, let me just decompress. Let me feed my inner child and just rest and recover, because I'm not invincible. I'm not perfect, and I can run out of energy. So I need to know my limitations and make sure that I'm receiving so that I can start the next week with as full of a tank as I can.
What would you say to someone going through a tough time?
Tough time. Yeah. What would I say to someone going through a tough time? Number one, I would say that it won't last forever. What happens when we get into difficult days, weeks, or seasons is that the repetition of it kind of affects the way that we see things. And so, like, whenever we're going through a tough time or we're really, really activated, like, our frontal lobe kind of dims and we're just living in the emotion. And what happens is we lose our concept of time. And so we just feel like this experience is permanent. Even though we know it's not, it feels like this is it. This is my lot in life. I'm always going to be sad. I'm always going to be pissed off. I'm always going to be mad. Right? Like, so the first thing is that's not going to last forever. That's the first thing I would say. Second thing I would say is that find someone who can sit in it with you. That doesn't mean that they'll fix it, because sometimes it can't be fixed. Particularly with grief and loss, you can't fix it. But what you can do is you can have someone who can sit next to you and cry their guts out with you. And that does something to you experientially, where it's like one of my favorite things that I learned is that are not afraid of the dark. They're afraid of being in the dark alone. There's a big difference. And I think that translates into adults too. Because when you go into a room with a kid and you sit with them, they'll pass out cold because they're not afraid of the dark. They're afraid of being there alone. And that does not go away when we become adults. That same concept translates. And so if you can have someone with you in the tough time where it's like you can just be you, and you can just let it out, whatever that is, anger, frustration, sorrow, grief, crying, happiness, whatever. If you can have someone who can handle all of that with you, it will make it easier because you're not meant to be in it alone. And our society's become so individualistic where it's all about you, where it's like, what does it look like to bring somebody else into the difficult times who can handle it and just sit there? They're not trying to fix you. They're not trying to tell you how to feel. They're just there. So those would be the two things I would say. It's number one, it's not going to last forever. Number two, do you have someone who you can bear your unedited self to in that tough time? Because if you do, there's a good chance that it's going to be easier than if it was just.
Where do you want to see your mission, say, in the next 3 to 5 years?
Man. That's a good question. So there's enough work for all of us, particularly with men. Most men live from the neck up. And what I mean by that is, like, we live in our intellect and we use our brains or our minds to protect our hearts because we've been wounded and we don't want to talk about it. We don't know how to talk about it. We don't want to talk about it. So for me, it's like, it's bringing awareness to wherever I can in the reality of, like, you're a whole being. You have a mind, you have a heart, and you have a body that if you can cooperate with all three of those things, you can live a full, full life and you can become someone who you never thought you could. So for me, it's about continuing to spread that message wherever it can. So right now it's just me in my own coaching agency. For the next 3 to 5 years, I'd love to explore. I'm already pushing some of capacity in 5 months that I've been doing this, 4.5, 5 months, which is great. But scaling into that is something that I'm exploring, of bringing on other coaches, you know, for me, developing a course of like the things that I wish I knew, in the first 2 years of recovery. That took me a lot to figure out, spent a lot of money getting help. I want to make it affordable. Just connecting with organizations to, like I said, to bring awareness to men where it's like, listen, this culture that we grew up in where like men don't cry, men don't share feelings, like you need to be tough, you need to be the protector, you need to be all those things, but you also need a space to cry your guts out.
Yeah.
If you do not have the shoulder to carry it all, and you're not meant to. So let's just stop with the nonsense and find those spaces and bring them in. That doesn't mean that it has to be all the time or even most of the time, but it does mean it needs to be sometimes. You need that space. So scaling, awareness, potentially developing a course, and then 3 to 5 years, the last thing would be that I have written a rough draft on a kid's book about toxic shame. And it's just a rough draft. I'm tinkering with it, but it is something that like, it's something that's written not just for kids, but for fathers.
Yeah.
Because the reality is that what we don't transform, we transmit to our kids or to our partner or to whoever. So just bring awareness of that too. So that would be what I would say is like 3 to 5 years, awareness, scaling, probably a course, maybe for fun,